Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially the beginning of the words of Jesus. Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. This is the text. So yesterday evening, we were wandering around on the television, and we stumbled across one of those old Burns and Allen shows. Opening skit was Gracie putting boiling water into mason jars, sealing them, and putting them in the freezer. And somebody asks, why? So that whenever she needs some boiling water, all she has to do is take one out and thaw it out. And able to do that perfectly straight, committed to the skit. So, title for the sermon is Not Getting It. And that's to point out the interaction with this crowd. Not getting it is a fantastic theme in comedy. And when somebody is able to play the part of the person not getting it, if they're able to draw that out longer and longer and longer, you're sitting there watching it going, oh my gosh, and it's getting funnier and funnier. Not getting it in a romantic comedy, well, it can be kind of sweet and funny at the same time. Where one of the characters doesn't get it that the other one is in love with them. And they're absolutely clueless, and sometimes it ends up with the young lady grabbing the guy by the ears and pulling him in and kissing him. And all of a sudden he then gets it. Not getting it, well, in marriage it can be a problem, can't it? In religion, not getting it can be terribly tragic. Let's run through a few of these. The people of Israel, having seen God part the Red Sea and bring them across out of Egypt, in the next chapter, are complaining that they don't have food. Not getting it. Not understanding the power of one who is able to part the sea. Even more tragic later on, they're in front of the mountain of God when Moses is up on the mountain and God is giving him the Ten Commandments. Down at the base of the mountain, Aaron and the people of Israel are deciding to make themselves a god after the fashion of the Egyptian gods. Now, those gods that the true God defeated completely and put them to absolute shame, not getting it. And throughout the Old Testament, the prophets are writing. They're writing their books to a people who are not getting it. Isaiah, all day long I held out my hands to a people who would not listen, says the Lord. Oh, but that's only the Old Testament, isn't it? Surely the apostles got it. Oh, yeah? On Easter morning, scorning the women because we know he's still dead. And Cleopas explaining to Jesus along the road to Emmaus how this Jesus was such a disappointment because he's dead. And then comes my personal favorite. When the angel takes Peter and brings him out of the prison, opening the bars and the gates, and Peter goes to the house of Mark where they're praying for Peter to be released, and knocks on the door, and servant girl Rhoda goes and tells them, Peter's at the door, without opening it, of course. They explain to her that it cannot be. What were you guys just praying for? Well, it can't be. And they sit there in the back of the house arguing about it till Peter has to pound on the door. Not getting it. And here, how's this go? On the other side of the lake, Rabbi, when did you get here? You're not looking for me because you saw signs, but because you ate the bread and filled your bellies. Well, that's true. They seem to have missed the whole sign there. Jesus, by the way, dropping hints who he is by feeding them bread from heaven. Who is this guy who gives bread from heaven? Well, who was he in the Old Testament? He was God. So, reciting through the events as they take place, Jesus feeds the 5,000, so their first reaction was, they want to go and make him king. I don't want to ask him what to do. Ask him about the kingdom of God. Make him king by force. That'll do it. And Jesus goes up on the mountain to be alone and away from them. Well, they finally find him. And Jesus says, don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. And about the only thing in that whole sentence they hear is, work. How do I know that? Their response. What should we do? What works should we do? Okay. Jesus answers them with something that absolutely does not involve work. He says, believe. Believe in the one God has sent. Okay. And then comes the prize of the whole exchange in terms of completely missing it. Well then, show us a sign. Give us a sign so that we can believe in you. What sign will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. What will you do? Feeding 5,000, does that count? Completely missing. And here's where it gets especially sad. It's not just them. It's a whole human race. All of us missing it, not getting it, missing the point. We read our scriptures, we hear the promises of God. We say, aren't those promises absolutely wonderful? And then something happens. And how often are we asking ourselves and asking God, where is God? Where are you? Have you forgotten about us? Missing it. It's an absolutely sad state of affairs. Okay, so now that you know that you're supposed to hold on to the promises of God and don't miss it, don't miss the point when something happens, are you ready for the rest of your life to not miss it? Didn't think so. Neither am I. Because things will happen and I will be wondering, where's God? We seem to be that kind of people. Namely, human beings fallen and living in this world, and we hear the promises of God and we don't get it. And time after time, I will mention at a funeral, there will be a day when we will look back on the tears of this day, and we will be sitting there in the middle of the promises of God now revealed to us in Jesus on that day, reaching out and touching, risen from the dead, glorious, when we'll look back on the tears of this day and we'll wonder about ourselves. Or we'll simply laugh at the joy of the promises of God having conquered all. Reminded of a passage in Isaiah 25. On that day we will say, this is our God. We waited for him. This is our God, and he has saved us. And so the other part of this whole lesson, Jesus is the bread of life. He is the bread of life for us. With our doubts, with our fears, with our question, with our missing the whole point, with our wandering off, with our foolishness. He is the bread of life who gives promises to us. He is the good shepherd who shepherds our souls. But here's the thing. If you are going to shepherd a soul, what do you shepherd a soul with? You know what is the stuff of the soul? Those things that are deep down in our souls? We should have suspected this from how God made the world. It's words. It's the promises and words. It is the word of God specifically, from let there be light to the blessing upon Adam and Eve, where God gives all of his blessings, where God pours out his grace on them. It is the word of God where Adam and Eve, wandering off, missing the whole point, deciding, oh, we've heard the word of God. What other word is there to listen to? Oh, let's listen to that guy over there. He's making other promises. And they miss what God has said, and they miss God's call to faithfully hold to his word. And what does God do? He gives another promise. The seed of the woman will come. The seed of the woman will redeem you. The seed of the woman will crush the head of the devil. The seed of the woman will be wounded in that battle. The seed of the woman. He's the one that will bring all of the promises back to you, and he will bring more besides. Because the seed of the woman, he is the bread of life. He is the bread of heaven. Feast on him. Take his words into your soul. Have his words spoken to you over and over and over again, because that is the stuff that feeds the soul. And then, in addition to his words, watch as he puts his promise into action. Carrying sins to the cross, seals the promises with his blood. Establishes the promises and conquers with the promises by rising from the dead and promises those promises to you. He's the bread of life. And he's going to be the bread of life over and over again. He'll be the bread of life through his promises. He will be the bread of life as he takes his promises and puts them into the bread and the wine, the body and the blood, and actually feeds you with himself and his promises. And he will do that over and over again to people who hear his promises, treasure his promises, then forget his promises and wander off into confusion. And he comes back with the promises again to tell us that our sins are forgiven and we have life and we have him. And those promises are sealed to us again through word and in bread and wine given to us. And he keeps on doing that all through our lives because he shepherds the soul all through the times of blessing, the times of sorrow, the times of confusion, the rare times of clarity. Yeah, I've had a couple of those in my life, times of clarity. Not all that often, but he comes to us with all of those promises and holds those out to us and tells us, this is what the ending will be. Having those promises completely fulfilled. And then on that day, like Isaiah says, we will say, this is our God. We waited for him. This is our God. We waited for him and he has saved us. In Jesus' name.